Thank you to the Patreon supporters of the What We Remember podcast. Sarah P., aka Situational Daddy on Instagram, Sandy and Paul J., Nathan E., Jacqueline M., Matthew J., and Big Time Jim. Help support our show by going to patreon.com/whatweremember and pledging a monthly amount. Thanks. What have we done? We've done Blade together.
Yep.
We've done a movie at the Main Art, which was...
Oh, did he not go to the Main Art with us one time?
Yeah, he skipped out on it one time.
What a clown. What did we do at the... Oh, man.
Yeah, see how much we know our podcast.
Right.
We've done three... This is our third episode without the molding showers. Because he hasn't even seen this movie.
He hasn't seen all the movies, as far as I can tell. Every time we're like, here's this classic movie that everyone's seen. He's like, never heard of it.
That's existed. No clue what it is. It's a big part of my childhood. It's the main reason. It makes me the person I am today. I never heard of that shit.
Nah, probably garbage.
Hey, Dave, Andy Moldenhauer. I only watched Dunst & Jackson.
Was it worth my time?
Mm-hmm. I saw this in theaters. We're not even talking about it yet.
You see all the good stuff in theaters. I never went to the theaters, I feel like.
I feel like you didn't.
This was a TV movie for me.
Well, let's get it going, because we've already spoiled too much. My name is Bradley Jones.
I'm Andy Hubert.
And this is not a movie review podcast, but a podcast where we try to remember a movie that we have not seen in a very, very long time. And this is what we remember about The Wizard.
Were there two or three bad guys in Home Alone? And who was that forgetful fish in Finding Nemo? Join us as we're watching films. See what we remember and what memories we kill. Let's start the show. Here we go. This is what we remember.
Man.
With Fred Savage.
It's been a long time since I've seen this one.
And Christian Slater.
That's right, yes.
And Bo Bridges.
Oh, Bo Bridges?
And Jenny Lewis.
I don't know.
Who's Jenny? It's the singer, songwriter, Jenny Lewis?
Oh.
She's the girl.
Wow.
Yeah, she grew up to be Jenny Lewis.
I was going to ask who knew, but you did. Not me.
She was also in True Beverly Hills, Andy, which is another one of our favorite movies Andy Holdenhauer hasn't seen.
I can't believe we have him. Yeah, this stupid guy hasn't let us do that one. That's such a good one.
Beverly Hills, what a thrill.
Oh, my God. Oh, man, this movie blew my mind when I saw it the first time. One, because it was Fred Savage, and I was like, oh, it must be Princess Bride. I'll watch this. No.
Vice Versa, another Fred Savage film. He had a couple ones. Did he go from Wonder Years to movies, or from movies to Wonder Years?
I mean, he was on Wonder Years for a long time. So I'm wondering if it was sort of in between he would shoot some movies, because, man, I watched so much Wonder Years, too. So that was another one where I'm like, I know that guy. I watched some Wonder Years. Why are they playing video games?
It's a great show. Yeah. And anytime, like, you see a movie or, like, a TV show or anything, or, like, Nintendo's, like, in the background or, like, being mentioned, and, like, you're a little kid, your brain just, like, fixates on it. Like, oh, my God. Look at that. Whoa, he's got a thing.
You're like, holy crap.
And this movie's all about that.
This movie is just, what, an hour and a half of a Nintendo commercial.
Right, yep. It was basically for an ad for Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah.
Which it worked out great.
I wanted it so bad.
They should do it again for another film.
We got Mario coming up. I have high hopes. Well, I was gonna say hopes, but I don't even really have that. So
they should just keep releasing trailers where they don't let you hear his voice, and you have to see it when you see the film.
Yeah, keep it a mystery
the entire time.
Just shots of, like, he's about to say something, cut away to another scene. Oh, that's so good.
Never let you hear Chris Pratt's voice.
That's important,
because it's gonna just make everybody sad.
Yeah, I've heard actually the Sonic movies have been pretty good.
They're okay. I saw the first one.
Interesting.
And the second one I did not see, but the Wizard kind of isn't a video. It's like his video games in it.
Yeah, but it's not themed. The world of a video game.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the same way, like, a sports movie is, like, everyone is into that sport. This is a movie where everyone's into video games.
Yeah,
like everyone you meet, like, at a diner or like a shop or just anywhere out in the world knows about video games.
Yep. It's just this is, you know, they were trying to make esports happen.
Yeah.
And it just took another, like, 20 years.
Right. That's very true. I forget the entire end scene as an esports event.
Yeah. And to some degree. Man, and, like, I was thinking about this, actually, on the way over. I was just, like, I remember, like, this sort of ties into, I saw this movie about the same time I was watching Nick Arcade TV.
Of course.
And thinking about, like, those situations where I'm like, what is this incredible video game world that I'm deprived of here in where none of this happened? And it turns out it wasn't really a thing almost anywhere.
Did you ever watch the show Video Power when you were a kid?
I only watched that.
There was a game show, and the prize of winning the game show is you put on a Velcro vest, and you got to run around an arena, and the arena was filled with video games and other video game ephemera.
Oh, my God.
And you would attach it to yourself as you're running through this course.
It's like Supermarket Sweep, but for video games?
And you go down a slide. And you get to keep all the stuff that's attached to you.
That's the best thing I've ever heard in my life.
It was like, I wanted it so bad.
Holy cow. That would work now. Bring that back.
I would go right now. Yeah. Get those Nintendo games on
Man.
Yes, he has a secret prize. He has got the hidden prize today. That means he'll take the Kodakon camera home. Look at this guy roam as he moves his way through the door. Will he take a prize or two? You bet he will. Up the ramp, and now he's going to the top to shop until he dropped. And he's shopping away, checking out that time, ticking away. Less than 8 seconds now to play. Look at him use his head. He's using that best belt, going everything he can in time. He's shooting the works. Coming out. Yes, he is. Head first. Woo! What a landing, man. In the winner's circle, you took home some serious prizes.
I was actually also thinking there's a really good episode of MTV's True Life. I'm a Gamer.
Oh.
From like 2001. So we're talking like, you know, gamer.
Oh, sure. It's like Halo.
It's
like
Halo 1. Yes. It's crazy. Like they follow Fatality. I don't know if you're familiar.
No, is he famous now still?
He was like He was like sort of the first famous gamer guy.
Okay.
And there's like signature PC equipment that is still Fatality brand. Like that's his sort of lasting thing. Like you can get the Fatality Edition graphics card. Originally it was sound cards because I had one in my computer at home. I had the Fatality sound card. But he got big,
Pro.
I think, playing either Quake or, you know, one of the arena shooters from way back.
Did you ever compete in the Blockbuster Video Game Championship?
Of course not. I mean, I wish.
I did. And I won for my store, and I went to the mall.
Man.
And I got to compete against a bunch of kids in NBA Jam. And I got like two or three rounds in, but then I lost.
You weren't on fire?
Yeah. It was kind of
from downtown.
I've got a bone to pick with what happened during this thing here. Because if you're on the left side and the right side, you only play one half of NBA Jam, and you're guaranteed to get the ball in the second quarter if you're the first player.
Interesting.
It's a who's who for the tip-off,
yeah.
but the first player is guaranteed the ball.
Man.
So you're going to get one more shot than the other player.
It's always interesting when you find weird quirks like that. Like, I remember in the old... I had a computer version of Jeopardy way back, and if everyone was mashing their answer button, player one was guaranteed to be the one that rings in as soon as the question was done being read. Because there wasn't, like, a penalty, a lockout like there is in the real show for mashing. So the question would come up, and everyone just starts smashing that thing, but you knew player one would always get it if that was the case. So, like, they always had more money than everyone else.
Oh, yeah, man. I guess I'll play this controller. I'll be the first player if I have to.
I like the idea of like the developers were just like, I mean, it's probably not really an issue, right? In this game about
when it comes
speed and
down
trivia
to the
knowledge,
championship,
like,
yeah. When it comes down
about?
To actual like wanting to,
oh man,
beat someone out.
But yeah, like that. Just thinking about that, because I remember he was sort of talking about winning these tournaments back in the day at these LAN parties, like traveling around, and you just win like $1,000 here and there. Like it wasn't like there is now, where you have like the Dota documentary talking about like the multi-million-dollar pots now they have for these
sponsorships,
these championships in esports. But he's like, yeah, this is the car I drive, and it's like all gamer brand. He's like, I won this at a contest. This is my car. He's like, I live with my parents to save some money. Yeah. Oh, man. It's a good episode. I highly recommend you watch it. The best part is
MTV Cribs, you said?
True Life.
True Life.
MTV
okay.
True Life. The best part is these dudes. There's like five dudes that are all roommates that live I want to say it's like in Minnesota or something.
Minnesota.
All of them work for FedEx. They all work at like this local FedEx distribution center at an airport. And like, all they do, they literally, they get home from work and they play video games and then they go to work and then they play more video games. And sometimes they take a break from work and come home and play video games. Like, one of them
nonstop
is like the only one that doesn't work at FedEx was working at a restaurant. He like takes his 15-minute break and starts playing games, and then it's like an hour into his 15-minute break.
Well, basically, a professional gamer is a person who actually makes a living at playing the game. I've been able to do that for the last 3 years now and live solely from my income from gaming. May I estimate the total that I've won from playing video games? Probably around $150,000. It's right around there. I mean, with prizes and, you know, cars and stuff I've won and things like that. It's pretty cool.
You have to put in a minimum of 80 hours a week to get good at
video games. It was so funny. Like, they weren't even competitive. These were just dudes that loved playing games. And it's like...
just did it for the love of the game.
And I was like, you know, I put a lot of
like
hours
this kid in this movie.
In the day. Yeah, you sort got of. It, man.
So, what's happening in this movie? We have Fred Savage.
Yes.
He's got...
he has a younger brother.
A younger brother.
Yes.
He's got a dad. The mom, I believe, is dead.
I think they're just separated. I think it's another divorced parents movie, because that was all the rage in the 80s.
I'm going to say... well, she's not in the movie, so I'm going to say dead.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. And then,
Might be.
And then Christian Slater is the older brother?
Yes.
And then, is that his younger brother? Is it his cousin or something?
Yeah, he's got... Jimmy? There's another... Well, Jimmy's the younger brother, right? That's the one that's playing the
Are they
games.
Brothers?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Because there's a whole twisty-turny thing at the end. I don't think it is. I think they're related.
Okay.
But they're not, because I'm going to get right into the spoiler.
Ooh.
Jimmy had a brother who died.
Yes.
And that's why he refuses to talk.
Yeah, He's a very quiet kid. PTSD or something, sort of from
watching
his
brother.
That's right. I do remember that.
Mm-hmm. But he wants to go to California the whole time. The little brother does.
Yes, and
we don't know why, but he's just like California. And then Fred Savage is like,
"Let's do it."
It's this kid's one wish.
Yeah,
I'm taking him to California.
He's like, I'm the Make-A-Wish Foundation today. All right, we're going.
We're doing it. And he leaves his family.
And they road trip.
Road
trip movie.
Mm-hmm. Two little kids trying to make it on their own.
And then they realize we got to make sure this is more Homeward Bound. So they find a woman to join the group.
Sure.
Teenager.
Jenny Lewis.
So she's the Fred Savage's love interest.
Yeah, I think she was everyone's love interest when they were a kid and saw this movie.
Of course.
A girl likes video games?
Oh my gosh.
Well, they meet at a truck stop because Jimmy... is like they stop to get a map or get some food or something, and then like Fred Savage is like, "Hey, just go play this video game." Gives him a quarter, and like Jimmy
and
plays the video game or whatever.
His hidden talent.
Yeah, and then he like goes back and comes back, and then they take Jimmy away, and then all of a sudden like Fred Savage comes back and was like, "You got over 30,000 points in Devil Dragon."
You got 50,000 on Double Dragon?
Which is like, yes. It's probably not that high of a number. I don't know. It doesn't seem that great. Because he only gets like level 3 in the game.
Well, it reminds me of like what happens at the end too, which we'll kind of get to. Yeah. But like the final contest is kind of funny in that same vein.
So maybe he's at a train station or something, because Jenny Lewis has tickets that they need or want, or they're trying to get money for a bus or something.
Yeah.
And,
because they're trying to get to LA. So, they don't have any money.
So, they challenge Jenny Lewis to a match. Whoever has the highest score in Double Dragon wins. And she's all cocky. It's like, there's no way this little kid's going to beat me. Yeah. It's essentially like the Hustler. Yeah. The Hustler with Paul Newman?
Yeah.
Yeah. I never saw it, but it's probably exactly like The Hustler.
Yep. You act like you don't know, then surprise.
What is he? Some kind of freak or something? That's it. Hey! You caught me!
I didn't, I won the bet!
And they get to join up and they get on the road. There's a social service officer tailing them the whole time. Bald nitwit with glasses, who's all needly and nosy.
Trying to catch him.
I think there's a bounty. Like Jimmy's parents hired him to
go find him.
So it's
they can't be bothered.
So they're like constantly on the run from this guy.
Yeah.
And trying to avoid him at every stop that they can.
Yep.
But also Fred Savage's parents, or Bo Bridges and Christian Slater, are also following them.
Yep.
So it's everyone just like trying to find each other.
The big chase.
Big chase to California.
And I think Jenny Slater, you said?
Jenny Lewis. But I don't know what her name is in this movie.
Yeah. I I think she's like already like, I don't know if she's a, like a pro gamer, but she's the one that knows.
She knows video games.
The video games and the pro video game circuit.
Mm-hmm.
She's it's in the a one magazine that's like, yeah, she's the one that's like,
we're going to Nationals.
Yeah, like I was on my way to the video game tournament for of the decade. Video Armageddon.
Video Armageddon.
Best name. And she's like, but hey, maybe you guys should go too, because then we could win a bunch of money together. I'm sure they agree to like.
It's all
split
about hustling
stuff.
These little kids are trying to hustle money every way they can.
Yes,
and they get stopped every once in a while, depending on like what happens. There's a moment where they get a ride from some like dudes in a truck, but they're like flashing their money around.
Yeah, they keep
and the dudes
up with...
in the truck like beat them up and take their money.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Well, and they keep sort of becoming friends with different groups of dudes to help them, like truckers and bikers. I think too. Mm-hmm. There's this segment where some bikers take them further, and like each time, like the group that befriends them and then beats up the bounty guy and like let them get away.
Yeah. Well, there's a moment where Christian Slater and Beau Bridges are having food in a diner, and one of the truckers stole Jimmy's hat and is like wearing it.
Mm.
And Christian Slater's like, "Hey, where'd you get that hat?"
On the trail.
Yeah. And also he's playing pinball or some video games or something too, but he's like hot on the trail. But you're right, where that. They like there's a constant battle between them and the social service officer of like the cars getting destroyed and like them getting put behind, like tires getting flattened and stuff being scraped and
But you're right, they just sort of keep having video game battles at each stop.
Throughout the way. It's like Pokemon.
Keep
go through the gym leaders, you progressively get to the end.
Yep. To get to what, the final four, is the final whatever they're called, the elite.
Yeah, well, we can't beat the final boss in our little journey, who is a guy, I forget his name.
Mm.
Oh, he's got Lucas? I believe his name is Lucas.
That sounds right. It feels like a good villain.
But
name
Lucas has the power glove.
Luke. Oh my God! Yes, the power.
Oh, the worst thing that was ever made, but the best presentation of a product. Yes.
Oh my God!
Yes, I have.
Can you describe it?
Okay,
for me?
So you put it on, and it's essentially just a controller
on your arm. Yeah.
On your arm, and it has like, but you can't. You can only use this one hand to like move it. And some games did have like a motion sensor, I believe.
Okay.
That could like detect when you moved your hand, but it was shoddy at best.
Yeah.
But like, it was essentially just a one-handed controller.
Yeah.
And like, I don't think these really did anything.
But it looked really cool,
and you wanted to wear it.
Oh yeah.
But it was really dumb.
And I remember that in this one, like it's in a case, like he's got like a Pelican case style thing.
He pulls it out like a gun or it would be the expert like pool like stick or something.
Oh yeah, he
like,
gets his own cube together. Yeah. What's that?
The power glove. It's so bad.
You have no chance to survive. Make your time.
And he's just playing like a racing game, and all he's doing is this.
Ooh, wow.
Doing this right into the camera. And
ooh,
it's like, it's
that's
all
how you know
tense.
It's good.
Power glove. It's so bad.
Jimmy's like, I don't want to go against Lucas in the power glove. He's better than me.
Yeah.
I don't have the confidence to do it. But he just loses
Fred Savage
his
dance for me, monkey. I need the money.
He loses his mojo, like Austin Powers.
And
they have to get the mojo back by going training in Las Vegas.
Yeah, you got to punch some raw meat in a freezer. You got to run up a bunch of steps in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Do they end up in Los Angeles at the end of this?
At some point, yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of a hard way to get there. They definitely go through, like, all the U.S., and you see, like, glimpses of stuff, because they do train in Vegas.
Okay.
And there also is, like, a moment where Jenny Lewis has a friend named Spanky, who I don't know if anyone knows. Better is not included, but he's in Better is not included. He's, like, the actor's amazing. If you, you might recognize him from something if you see him. But he's a truck driver, and they need to get a bunch of money, but obviously they can't gamble because they're kids. So they're like standing in the back of the casino, but telling him what to do.
Yeah.
Like in the roulette table or whatever, or craps, I think. And like he wins like all this money.
Okay.
And then they just like take it from him, like, thanks. Thank you. And he's like, oh, but I had this money. And he's like, we appreciate it.
Oh, boy.
We appreciate it. Because the social security officer also like tells them at the end, and Spanky has to call in the convoy to like block him into the road. Ooh, they get at him. Yeah, there's some tense moments when the music gets kind of like scary, when the Jimmy gets caught like once or twice, maybe like once like close calls.
Yeah,
and then once like Jimmy's gone, like they got Jimmy.
And some of those chases, like one of them takes place like on like the Universal Backlot ride something, like where they do like the earthquake where it's like pretend stuff and there's fire explosions, and
they
straight up jump out of the car and like running through the actual ride set, and
I think you see like King Kong or like you see behind the scenes,
I think that's part of the same thing. And like I remember that because then I actually went on that ride later and I was like, this is the coolest thing. Instead of thinking I'm in Earthquake the movie, I thought, oh, yeah, I'm in the wizard.
There's also some extra stakes at that scene, too, because Jimmy had already qualified for the championship, and there's a countdown going. It's like, he's got to show up in 2 minutes, or else he's going to be disqualified. But then when the game starts, he's already there, and it like turns around for his reveal.
Surprise reveal.
Like, Jimmy's already here, bitch.
Not only is he there, he already has a fantastic sense of theatrics. Absolutely need that if you're going to market yourself in professional esports.
He's so good. He's also carrying around a lunchbox, which has like the photos from his brother and stuff in there. There's a part where they go, I never know what states it's in, but it's also in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. The dinosaur?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
In California somewhere?
Yeah, it's in Fallout New Vegas.
Oh, so it's in it's in Vegas then.
Yeah, it's in like Nevada.
Sure.
Like one of the tourist trap kind of thingies.
Well, they go there, they reminisce, like, and they get caught up with like the whole reason why he wanted to come here.
Okay. It was just like, to revisit the place
where him and his brother spend a lot of time together.
And now that they've done that, he's lost his video game abilities.
Yeah, it might even be a sister. It's a brother or a sister. He lost a sibling. And I think it's like a sad story where Fred Savage is like, they got into a river and the current was just too strong. And Jimmy tried to save her and he couldn't.
Now he has survivor's guilt and broke him.
Survivor's guilt. Yeah, that's why he's been mute this whole time.
Okay. But yeah, so we finally get to Video Armageddon.
Well, they're going to go home.
Oh, they're going to give up.
They're going to be like, they're going to give up. But then like Jimmy's first words he says the entire movie, I don't want to give up.
Jimmy, yes.
And like everyone's like, damn it, we gotta do it for Jimmy.
For Jimmy, everyone. Yeah, let's go.
We gotta go break all the rules and all the laws possible to get this kid to the video game championship. I think even his parents do show up and like cheer him on.
Oh yeah, of course. It's gotta be like they finally all like, I'm sure the bounty guy shows up too, and Jimmy's competing, so Fred and Jenny have to intercept him and get him all tangled up and like the stage rigging
just,
or
like,
something.
Punches him in the nose or something.
Oh yeah, that's gotta be the comeuppance, right? One of the parents is finally like, get out, don't mess with my son. Give him a whop. But yeah, then the parents realize his innate talent, and Fred Savage is be like, see, he has value.
Yeah, he has value as
family,
a person because
he's gonna try and win money.
He's gonna win
video games. Yeah, we can exploit him to. Well, don't worry about that. The important thing is
he's a child prodigy at video games.
Yes,
but everyone is because like there's no adults. I think there's a montage of people competing to get in, and I think there might be some adults or two.
I mean, it's gotta be right. I've seen King of Kong. There's some weird adults that are into those games, obsessively.
Sure.
Although you don't have that reaction time now. It's like, I feel like as soon as you hit like
22,
you're out of the esports game.
How much was to play StarCraft Brood War with these fingers?
Oh, God, no. Yeah.
You're so aged.
Arthritis. They're just spies, pointing every which way. Yeah. Can't do it.
And they have to qualify. They played Ninja Gaiden. They get a big score in there, and they're all happy because Jimmy's practiced Ninja Gaiden.
Mm-hmm.
And there's even a moment when they're in Vegas, when they're going around playing all these arcade games, which I'm so jealous of.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even know as a kid that a lot of the NES games were in arcades.
Yes.
Like I saw like a Castlevania like for NES arcade, and like I know there's like versions of Ninja Gaiden and Contra and like those games that were like arcade versions of right. things, and then they got ported to NES.
Yep.
But then those got turned back into arcade games, I
yes.
guess.
Yeah.
At some point, I don't know.
It was a strange cycle.
Yeah.
I can't imagine trying to play Ninja Gaiden as an arcade game. I sucked at so that game quarters. So bad. Yeah. It would have just been consuming an entire grown man's income yeah. if I was trying to play that game in there.
Me and my brother tried to like really play it one night. We got to the boss, but it was just so hard.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it was just so difficult.
I don't know if you've ever seen Game Center CX.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, like, the episode where he tries to, like, beat that, like, it is so brutal because, like, it takes him literally, like, 24 hours. At the last second, he manages to finally get to the end. Because it's like, you die, you gotta start all over.
Yeah. Well, also, even when you die at the last boss, you have to start like way
yes,
back
at the beginning
at, like,
of the whole
an
level
earlier level. Yeah. Yeah, you have to go through like the hardest
oh my
part
God.
Of the game.
It's insane.
Yeah,
it's so brutal. Those old, a lot of those old games yeah. that way. I've tried that on the Switch Online. Be like, oh wow, I can finally go back and play some of these games that I fondly remember from when I was a kid. I play them for like 10 minutes. I'm like, this game's impossible.
I
give
states.
Up.
I need save states.
They're all impossible. Oh my God, I'm trying to play Excitebike and I'm just. It's not happening.
There's a guy, speaking of Excitebike, who's very excited in the video game tips hotline person. And
oh.
he's like got these big books and he's like looking through like all these
Man,
cheats
he's got,
and
yeah,
stuff.
He's
yeah.
got the
because like, Nintendo Power existed at the time and they did have like a helpline they wanted kids to call.
Nintendo Game Playing, this is Rick. How can I help you?
Hi, my name is Haley and I've got a wizard who's going all the way to the championships in Los Angeles.
Is that so?
All I need is a little help. Okay, let's start with Simon's Quest.
Okay, now where exactly are you in the game?
Call
yeah, you remember when you had to like get the actual walkthroughs from the magazines
yeah.
and like developers actually put real cheats and Easter eggs in their games?
Zelda? Are you kidding
like,
me?
DLCs
you,
and stuff.
You have to like know somebody who's beaten Zelda to like
yes.
teach you how to play the game. And, like,
that's how I was
secrets.
With Metroid too. Like I thought
Metroid's
Metroid seemed impossible
too.
To be able, unless you had someone who knew what you were supposed
the
to
do. The map
be
is
doing.
So convoluted
oh
and you have
God.
To keep backtracking.
Yeah.
And you have like you lose a weapon but you have to get it again.
It's
and,
impossible.
Yeah, it's not an easy game.
But yeah, like man, the idea of putting Nintendo Power, yeah, you have to get gotta get those walkthrough tips.
And we get the big reveal. They're playing a mystery game, a new game that
no one's
ever played before.
So they're all this is a test of raw skill, baby.
Yeah.
I like it.
And it's Super Mario Brothers 3.
Classic.
One of the best games ever made.
It is very good.
And these kids are always finding the secrets. They find the whistle and they find like all these like cheats and like as a person seeing, because I believe the movie came out 3 or 4 months before the game actually came out. So
oh,
you got like
man.
A really, you
hyping
got,
it in.
You got to get a little bit of hype factor.
Yeah.
But you also knew like, oh, there's a whistle in the game and you can like duck and hide behind stuff. Like this Mario game is crazy.
Yeah. Unlike anything you've ever seen.
It's not like Mario or Mario 2. What, he's got
yeah.
the raccoon suit. He's flying around.
Yep. And I do remember I was confused by their last game because they have to play Mario 3. And the challenge is just to get the most points.
Yeah.
And I was honestly like, I forgot there were points in Mario.
And they keep track of the points. Like everyone has like a knight that's like running through the screen of
oh,
different colors and like
so
their
good.
Name is behind them. And suddenly like, I forget what Jimmy does. Maybe he finds like a warp or something, but he just like blasts off like that. Everybody.
It's got to be like right at the end yeah. he manages to like yeah get some super secret deal and
yeah
crushes it.
I think you get to see a little bit of level 4 in that game, which is incredible because that's the big world
yeah
where you see those big Goombas and like
oh,
as a
man.
Kid you're like oh my God. I mean those are supposed to be small.
Yeah. This is gonna be good. I can't wait. This is gonna be amazing. What a time capsule of a
yeah
movie.
Well there's some inappropriate stuff too, but I'll let you discover that on your own. It'll be fun to talk about in part 2.
I'm interested in that, too.
Yeah, you know, Christian Slater's in his underwear and stuff. And
we'll get another child peeing scene like we have managed to find.
Probably. I mean, they're
movies.
On the road. They got to go. They got to go.
I assume we get to watch two kids smooch at some point, I'm sure.
Yeah, they get to steal a peck.
They have a smooch.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, as a kid, you're like, yeah. Now I'm
go
just
for
like,
it.
It feels weird making these kids kiss
yeah.
for a movie.
I also don't know, like, what the end like, because everyone feels like they're an orphan in terms of like Jimmy and yeah. the girls. Well, like, does everyone get adopted by Beau Bridges at the end?
They all get, they get their prize money and it changes all of their lives.
Doesn't,
like, I'm sure,
doesn't
I'm,
like it's gonna be that much.
I'm pretty sure Jenny's is like that. Like, she has a shitty home life too, and she's like, this money will like let me escape.
Yeah,
like an abusive family or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I think she does have like a dad that like hits her or something.
Yeah, and so
there's a lot of like adult themes in this movie.
Yeah.
About video games and like
and mental health
and mental health awareness. Yeah. Yeah, it's like ahead of its time. It's like yeah. this. They had this movie that
it's
already
sort of
existed.
A child's Rain Man kind of a thing.
Yeah,
and that there's, you know, a brother exploiting.
Yeah, and instead of gambling, it's video games.
But they do the gambling.
They
even
do
there.
Gambling
yeah.
too.
There you go, man. But yeah, wow. I genuinely have not watched this movie in probably 25 years.
Yeah, it's a treat every time I do.
Oh,
but
man,
I don't
go
out of my way
to visit this
see
one
it.
Again.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
Well, we'll see what we got right, what we got wrong in part two of The Wizard.
Oh, I give you Super Mario Brothers 3! To your station! Have 10 minutes, and the player with the most points wins! Go! Enter World 1!
Lucas Barthart, 1300. Jimmy Woods, 1300. Maura Grissom, 400.
Welcome back to the California podcast. We watched The Wizard. Or at least the theatrical cut. Did you know about this new cut that's like 45 minutes longer?
I just read about it.
How can there be more of this movie?
That's okay. So
what more subplots do we want?
Right. Like, this movie is extremely efficient, and I don't think you need to add anything to it. I mean, like,
yeah, the director was like, hey, I'm gonna shoot all the script you gave me, but we don't need it. But they're like, do it anyway. And he's just like, all right.
Yeah, I did actually have a whole note about how fast this movie moves.
Yeah, it's going.
Like, this, it literally starts...
Where do they begin their journey?
They start... Well, I mean, the movie itself starts with Jimmy already
Utah?
Ran away.
Yeah.
And he's being chased down by a plane that's like 10 feet off the ground.
Where are they? Arizona,
I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they're in Arizona.
And they just go through Utah
Mexico.
And New Mexico and California?
Like, he's already run away. Like, let me try to see what I said here, because it is seriously weird how fast. Okay, yeah, starts with Jimmy already running away, so he's establishing that he runs away frequently.
Yeah.
Cut to parents being told about Jimmy and his trauma. Okay, so we've established why he runs away. Cut to Corey being like, oh, they're going to put Jimmy in a home. We got to save him. Cut to Corey already have gotten to Jimmy, gets him in a van, they're gone. It's like four scenes, and they're already on the road.
We only get like one home life scene of like Fred Savage.
Yes, this was actually...
His dad burns the casserole.
This is a complaint of mine, is that... So we have a whole B-plot of Christian Slater and Beau Bridges road tripping on their own and having a bonding
father-son moment, yeah.
And they do nothing to establish their relationship. They have one scene
have
where
one
the three of them...
Where they're yelling at
well,
each
they
other.
Well, they start out
in the
kind of joking with each other. All three of them are kind of like, haha, bros being dudes.
And apparently, like, he like takes the truck without asking, and he's also drinking. And
he sort of. Christian and so they, like, they all argue. Like, Fred Savage yells at the dad, and like Christian Slater's just like, nah, you don't, I'm a free spirit. And like, that's it. That's the only relationship you get to see between them before they go on this road trip.
Just telling, no showing.
Yeah. I was like, I don't care about... Like, I care about them in the sense that Christian Slater was really good in this movie. I actually really like his character.
Yeah, he's really
he
fun.
Was perfect, and I really
like
seeing
like
him a lot.
Like an overcast, if there is such a thing?
Yeah.
Like, I got too
honestly,
good of an actor?
Yes, you're right. I think you're right. He's really good in this, and... But I couldn't care about their relationship. Mm-hmm. I watched it happen, and I was glad for them, but I'm like, I didn't think they were in that much trouble to begin with.
No.
Oh man, which sucks because they have a fun trip together.
Mm-hmm. What I couldn't wrap my head around is how everybody is related.
Yes, I don't know. Extremely confusing.
I don't know if you ever figured it out, but it seems like Beau Bridges and girl. I don't know her name. Yes,
she's barely in this movie.
Did they make all three sons?
No.
Or did Beau Bridges had Jimmy with another girl, or they had Jimmy together, and Beau Bridges had Christian Slater and Fred Savage with another.
The last one.
With
yes.
another wife.
So Fred Savage
dead or something?
And Christian Slater are half brothers with Jimmy.
Right.
So they were already Beau Bridges' kids when I think he was in the relationship with the mom.
We don't know what happened to that mom, do we? Or it was said like offhandedly somehow?
Well, I mean, well, we have the mom. They're divorced. Because she is now married to the stepdad, who's the guy from Christmas Vacation. Another movie.
A movie we just did, and I couldn't remember it either.
I wrote it down because I knew it was going to be a thing. Getting Even with Dad.
Literally,
just two episodes ago.
So he is fathers to Jimmy?
So he is Jimmy's stepfather.
Okay.
Jimmy is Beau Bridges and the mom's son. He's the biological son between the two of them.
Okay.
So
you're saying that they didn't also make Fred Savage
correct.
And Christian
they
Slater?
Came from Beau Bridges' previous
who
relationship.
We never see
yeah,
or meet
just hear
or
about it,
the...
sort of.
Okay.
It's not well established, though. Yeah. You're absolutely right that it doesn't... Unless you're, like, studying this film, you'll never know.
And Jimmy had a sister who
Twin
sister was their stepsister.
Yes.
And there is a moment where Christian Slater was supposed to be watching them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's... But he never... And when she dies and goes down the river, and he sort of blames himself, but that's not like a moment he ever really overcomes.
It's never something he really has to confront.
And it's not like, something like Beau Bridges like goes out of the way to like blame him for.
Nope. Even the mom
makes sense.
The mom doesn't say anything either. It's like genuinely almost never comes up.
It feels like it should come up.
Yes,
that
it
seems
absolutely
like a big
does.
Like overcome moment for the brother, Christian Slater.
There's a lot of weird stuff in this. Like we speculated in part one about Jimmy and whether he's like what's wrong with him? Is it PTSD?
Yeah.
Is
I don't
autism?
Think it's explicitly said, but he's like autistic.
Well, see, that's
to some
what I
degree.
Was like. I was laughing because they thought it was so undefined. But like the beginning of the film is like mental health professionals explaining very clearly to the mom and the stepdad about like what's wrong with Jimmy, and they just like ignore them.
Yeah,
like it's not like they don't understand. They have been directly told what he needs and what's wrong with him, and they're just like, no, we're gonna just commit him to like an insane asylum.
Right.
Like they just don't care. I was like,
in a different place.
No, we won't listen to these people who actually know what the problem is here.
There's no real motivation for the nasty step. Daddiness of the Christmas Vacation guy. He is just like nasty man.
He's just mean because he's
mean nasty man.
It's not even like he is expending great money to recover Jimmy every time. It's all like public services. Like the police keep bringing him back, but he's concerned about making the police spend money bringing Jimmy back. So he's like, just commit him. I don't care.
Like, yeah, he seems like a bad apple.
It's weird. Well, but then at the end, he's
everybody
like...
Gets redeemed
everybody gets redeemed
at the end.
Everybody gets redeemed at the end. I thought the same thing. He's like the worst guy. And then at the end, he's like, dang, Jimmy's really good at these video games. Really freaking cool. I'm proud of him. And you're like, who are you? That's not the guy from the beginning of this movie.
So this whole movie is Karate Kid, but instead of karate, it's video games.
Yes.
But the problem we're having is that it's not exciting just to watch video game.
Yeah.
It is exciting to watch fighting karate scenes.
Yes.
But, like, you can't just swap those. For, like, you can't just put, like, a little scene of, like, Ninja Turtles or, like, Zelda in place of a fight scene. It doesn't work that way.
No.
But the movie's like, nah, we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. The movie was, like, I think they realized during shooting that this wasn't going to work so well, so they had to, like... contrive other conflicts for them to encounter.
Yeah.
But even then, they were barely conflicts. Like, we also thought about, like, they meet up with different bands of dudes on the road trip that help them out in various ways. And sort of that's true, but not in sort of a pattern. Like, the first people, like, Jenny, is that her name?
I think, it's her character's name.
Her character's name.
I forget what
she's,
she's
like, my dad's
name.
A trucker. I know truckers. So they hitchhike with these dudes that are hauling some, like, pigs or cows or something.
Mm-hmm.
Who
I know truckers,
then stop the truck, and I for sure thought this was going to be like an attempted rape, but it's not. Woof. It's just a robbery.
Yeah.
They see Fred Savage flash in like $20, and these guys are like, I'm going to rob these children and leave them in the desert for $20. I think it's actually $60, but...
Yeah, it's and also like the money, I don't really understand... Like how much they need, or
we could talk about
the her name is Haley.
The two of them, yeah. So Jimmy and Fred Savage run away. They manage to get to Corey. They get to like a bus station. They want to get a bus ticket to.
They have no idea what prices bus tickets are.
They have $20. Give us a ticket. And the guy's like, that literally can buy zero tickets. There's no ticket that inexpensive.
And do they have a destination in mind at that point? Because I feel like the destination comes after
it's
the
just,
fact.
It's just Jimmy saying California. So I don't know if they start with LA. I don't think they do. They only go there because the tournament's there.
Right.
But like, they're just trying to go somewhere to California.
So it's just a nice happenstance that happens to be the same place Jimmy wants to go?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
It's weird. But yeah, they don't have the money. So Jenny is sitting in the bus station as well. Mm-hmm. And she is on her way to like...
Yeah, and they go to like the back of the bus station, gas station area. And it looks like a giant like storage facility.
It looks like a video rental storage area.
Yeah, or like I thought like bowling or something.
Something like that. It's weird.
It was a weird space.
And that's where she's like, hey, like I'm going to turn you guys in to whatever unless you team up with me. Like... Because while they're at the bus station, Jimmy's playing games. Jimmy's playing games at the bus station.
A police officer arrives and they get spooked.
And they try to, like, hide.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I can blackmail these guys because they clearly don't want to be found.
And what she is trying to do is to get money to a point where she can take it back to her dad?
Yes. I actually have a note on this because we weren't sure about how this works either. We thought...
Everyone ultimately wants money.
We thought she had like an abusive home life or something, like a garbage one.
Yeah,
but that's not the case. The issue is simply that her dad... Yeah, they had... Like her mom was a compulsive gambler and ended up getting them in debt. She's gone. She's out of the picture now.
But gambling helps them.
But it sounds like it absolutely does.
So that's a mixed message.
So so her dad and her live in this trailer and they're poor because of this debt that the mom saddled them with, and that's why she wants the winnings to basically get rid of that and let them actually live a life. But yeah, like they definitely just use that to their advantage and win a ton of money helping a trucker win at
craps.
Mm-hmm.
Spanky.
And so he's the trucker that actually helps them with other truckers later, not the dudes that rob them in the desert.
Deus ex Spankina.
They do meet up with some biker gang dudes and get hitch a ride from them, which has no exposition
that's just in a montage.
They're just at a road stop and the bikers pull up and then there's a shot of them riding with the bikers. Not even an asking for a ride. Nothing at all.
There's like small town bully jerks. They hustle. And they figure out that Jimmy was hustling them.
Yep.
So they take their money back.
They beat them up later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they also take his hat, which is how Christian Slater and Bo Bridges get on the path.
Because it's Bo Bridges' lawn company.
Yeah. Woods Lawn Company.
Yeah. We'll have to talk about his truck.
His truck gets it's destroyed almost immediately
in multiple ways.
Yeah,
so
they take it apart.
Yeah, so the parents hire the mom Putnick. And the stepdad hire Putnick, who's like a Putnick. Bounty hunter. He's just like a straight up bounty hunter to get Jimmy back. And meanwhile, you know, Christian Slater and Bo Bridges are on their own trip looking to get the two of them. And yeah, like, at first they...
And this guy auditioned for George Costanza. He had
to. He must have, right? Absolutely had to. But, like, they target this. They do not like this guy. They see him in a small town at some point. Like, we thought there were multiple times where, like, Putnick almost catches up with the kids. They have a run and then they get away.
It's mostly just Slater.
Not until the end. It's Slater and Bo Bridges keep running into Putnam and beating him at his own game, basically. Yeah. And by beating him at his own game, I mean just ramming his car with their truck.
Yes.
He rams their car with the truck. Yeah,
but they run in front first and Putnam goes back first.
No thought at all to it
either. Much better way to hit a car.
He's just like immediately like, hey, there's a guy, floors the, just rams this guy's car with his truck.
Broad daylight.
Yep.
There's like this old man in like a rocking chair just like watching it all happen.
Yeah. And so, of course, obviously now their truck is broken. They have to take it to a shop who gets or get it towed.
Yeah.
And then the instructions get mixed up and the tow, like the shop thinks that the truck is salvaged. So they literally strip it.
Puts that in there. He's like, "Oh, you want to make a buck?"
That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Which makes sense. But yeah, those
the first
guys,
time they do get it repaired and they get white wall tires.
Oh, the tires. The tire goes flat.
And
first.
Christian Slater hooks up a Nintendo and starts playing in the garage.
That, oh my God.
Because Christian Slater's thing is he's always like wanting to play Nintendo games and Bo Bridges is making fun of him.
And they just
for
brought
it.
The Nintendo with them, I guess?
Yeah, you know, they said it was Corey's old game system.
And yeah,
he just, all the hookups
he's
for
like,
it.
Yeah, I fixed it. And I hooked it up in the auto shop. And Bo Bridges is like, oh, you have skills. And they start to bond.
I guess.
I guess.
Over video games? That would have made more sense if they did, but it seemed like they didn't.
It felt like theirs was the main story some of the time, even though I didn't care about it. Like, honestly, that was more development and character building than I think Jimmy and Corey's adventure in, you know, road tripping.
I think Christian Slater gets a monologue of some kind.
He has one with
Bridges
when they're
really.
Yeah, when they get a motel and share a room.
Yeah.
And they like have this bonding moment. And then Christian Slater's sort of like, hey, you know, we have family problems, Dad. And like they kind of have this heart to heart talk.
Then he wants to go to bed or whatever.
Yeah, he just goes to bed.
They talk about mom. They talk about Jimmy. They talk about all sorts of things.
A lot of missed opportunities, I feel like, with the two of them and their road trip.
All that lead to like a punchline joke of Bo Bridges staying up all night trying to do good Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
Yeah. That's all it amounts to. Yep. Which I like him being obsessed with video games throughout the movie.
Yes.
Up to the point at the end where he's like trying to give Jimmy advice from the audience.
Yep. It's so good. It's so good. Oh, man. I want to start a petition to, since Capital G Gamers is a toxic name at this point, I think we need to bring back the term video head.
Ooh.
To describe people playing video games.
Heads.
Video head is a hilarious term.
Is that something the Armageddon guy says? Or
no, this is Jenny says.
Oh, Jenny calls
like,
him video head?
Yeah, all the video heads are going to Armageddon. Like, I was like, that's a term?
Yeah.
I guess. I like it. It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
We had the power glove scene.
Yeah,
and you were right. He steers the car and like cruising.
Doesn't even do much of anything.
No, I like that it played the Close Encounters theme when he like bleep bloop, beep, bloop to set it up. He was like, "Oh, gotta punch in the code to turn it on." I don't think that was actually how it worked.
You may have had to have a code for a game to program it, but I don't see why that would
maybe
matter. It's possible.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, but that scene like ends up driving a wedge between Jimmy and Haley and Corey, because Jimmy puts on like a big front of like, keep your power gloves off her, pal.
Yes.
And that makes Jimmy like not want to play Lucas in the game because he's jealous of the attention that
you're right,
Haley's
yes
getting from Corey.
So Jimmy realizes that Corey is like real into Jenny and is like, but Corey's like all I have at this mm-hmm point because I already lost my sister. I mean, I have severe PTSD about it. And so, yeah, that's where he, like, shuts down when they're going to play that game.
Yep.
And that all falls apart. And then he's, like, stacking buckets at the
they get in a big fight again. Fred Savage knocks the buckets
and
down.
And Jenny's also, like...
yeah, she's
like,
at her last rope, too.
She's like, just because we're traveling together doesn't mean, like, you can just smooch me and I'm your girlfriend, bro. Yeah. I'm not interested.
Mm-hmm. But then she is interested, so...
Well, I will say, happening. Celebration, there is not a smooch between them at the end. She smooches... Yep.
That happens earlier.
Jimmy's cheek and Corey's cheek, and that is the end of the film. It's like her just being like, good time, guys.
So, while we're talking about it, are they going to adopt her? What's her name? Are they going to drop her off?
I mean, she got winnings, so I guess she wants to go back to her dad and be like, we can live a life
now,
Dad. I feel
like there's going
to
be like pen pals or something.
Yeah, that's what it, I mean.
I guess they're going to split the winnings. They got 50 grand, right?
Yeah.
Which, it's not too bad.
I mean, that's 80s money, right?
How do you like that video Armageddon guy?
Yo, okay.
Well, he should host everything.
He was the best announcer. I also like the dude working the sign-up table.
Who looks directly at the camera.
Is absolutely in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, really?
He's,
oh, you're
yes
right.
As soon as I saw him. And he is hilarious. He's so animated and into this. And,
John Gordon.
And then the announcer. Incredible. Hire him for every
But throughout
event
the entire
ever.
Film, there are little kids like desperately trying not to look at camera.
Oh, for sure.
And then this guy, like, immediately is only seen looks at camera
right away.
And then comes back to Fred Savage.
Yes,
so funny.
Oh man.
Yeah. But where are they? Like Universal Studios?
Yes.
Because
they run. Looks, they do run through the
Draculas and Frankenstein's
tour.
All over.
Yep.
There's a King Kong.
It's got to be. I don't think they say it's at Universal, but they go through the backlot tour and they run on all like the ride with the earthquake and mm-hmm. the fire. Like it's a cool chase scene.
Mm-hmm. And everyone kind of converges there. even like the stepdad and the mom show up.
But
they're also like eating ice cream on the way in. Like they had time to stop for
snacks.
Well,
they were just moseying in. They basically got like Putnam had told them they'd get Jimmy. He'd give Jimmy back in like a day. Yeah. And so like by day two, they're like, we're firing that guy. Let's go find him to fire him.
Well, there's an ADR line where like Putnam is like chiming in. Like, I found him. He's going to California in LA. Hey, Mr. Bateman, Mr. Bateman. And he's like, and then it just fades out. It's like, oh, I guess I assume that they're also coming to Cal.
Yeah, so they maybe show up, and that's where he's like, why are you here? I was going to catch him for you. And like he's like determined to still catch him, even though the like they're like,
everything's clearly over.
Like, Putnam, you're useless. His car is a wreck because he got rammed by thing. He got beat up by truckers. Because I actually really thought this was funny.
Here we go. I want you to find out for yourself.
So when Putnam does catch up with the kids at the casino, at the casino, they're in the casino winning, and Jimmy's just chilling. Putnam catches Fred Savage at the pool.
There's like scary music playing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Jimmy's going to get stolen. The
Putnam
jig is
gets
up.
In, grabs Jimmy, and is like, you're coming with me, kid. And Jenny sees him
in the
grab
middle
her,
of the casino.
And yells, he touched my breast, and just screams. And it's so funny. Immediately, everyone grabs Putnam. Yeah. They're like, get this
him out
pervert
of there.
Out of here. I love it. It was so funny.
You, Jimmy boy. Time to go home, son.
We're too late. He touched my breast!
What the hell are you doing?
No! I didn't touch anything! You can't hit the kid. The kid is... What are you... I got a letter of custody for that kid right here in my pocket! What are you doing? Put me down!
Mr. Johnny Love. And that's where the truckers, they help out Spanky, the trucker win it. Because
eventually Putnam does get out of jail and then steal Jimmy again.
Yep.
But then like, oh, we lost Jimmy. It's like Jenny has like, or Haley has one ace up her sleeve.
Yes.
To call these truckers.
See, and the truckers like barricade the road and stop Putnam and like, that's the dude that touched the girl's breast. And they like destroy that guy. They just beat Putnam up to a pulp.
That guy's
so funny. That was hilarious. I loved it. Mm-hmm. Jenny was great. I liked her character. Yeah.
Haley.
I liked her character. I thought, you know, in terms of like what she was bringing, I also thought it was funny because I thought she looked way older than Fred Savage, but they were the same age in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, looked up the years. I was surprised.
There's some like weird lines where she like talks about how nice her legs are, and I was like, that's just a weird thing to say.
Yeah, it felt very much like kids trying to be cool,
one up each other,
be older.
Yeah.
I did like the scene where like Jenny,
she's a great mentor though.
Does
she's
take
all,
them
yeah.
where she does take them to her house. She built it up like, we live in this fancy house. My dad's awesome.
I guess she's supposed to be like Miyagi. I guess Corey and
sort of.
Hirsch,
she's kind of the guide, but yeah,
to some degree.
I'm not sure, but like I like when they get there and she's like all depressed about it. She's like, this is my house. And Fred Savage is like, okay, I don't care.
Yeah,
like,
it's fine.
It's fine with me.
Let's go make it on your roof.
Yeah, I don't care.
It's fine.
Just go smooching. And then she's like, no, I'm not smooching you. Slap. Love
we
it.
Go to Video Armageddon, which is the greatest
thing I've
place.
Ever seen in my
and
life.
It's like, and it turns over in like an hour.
Yeah,
like you have qualifiers that just are so fast.
I like that. Yeah, I like that they have, you know, same day sign up. This is not some sort of tournament where you had to like gain entry like by other, you know, smaller tournaments or something.
And just, I guess just the three right up, best scores and Ninja
right
Gaiden
in.
Go in.
Yes, I like the way they do these. Yeah, it's just like highest score within 30 seconds wins, and I'm like, what an interesting format. I mean, I guess for these sorts of games, you have to find something like that. It's not like, you know, multiplayer where you're directly playing against each other.
And the director wanted it to look like Alien, like the ship from Alien specifically.
Yeah, it does. It's a very sci-fi
totally
set. It feels like almost a Mystery Science Theater style.
So much
backdrop.
Smoke and
all the little grables like stuck to a wall and painted gray. It's pretty awesome. It feels very like 90s video games, and I love it.
But yet again, we're not getting a fun action tournament like end scene.
Nope.
We're just getting close-ups of Jimmy and cut-ins of the video game.
And I will
and
say,
then cut-ins of the audience. Yeah. Where like they're really trying not to look at the camera on these scenes where they're like just shouting stuff.
And you
at
mentioned
Jimmy.
The dramatic music. The soundtrack to this is pretty awesome, and it's like ominous and gloomy. And then they cut to the Mario footage, like bleep 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 bleep. And I was like, that's a jarring transition. It's really funny because
it really
it's like this tense moment of Jimmy playing, and then it cuts to the Mario music, and I'm like, nope.
you've lost it.
Uh-huh. It's like if like Harry Potter and like Voldemort ended up having to play like Joust.
It's so funny. Oh my God.
The Battle of Hogwarts has begun.
I absolutely
play Battletoads.
Yes.
What?
Oh man. I don't think this is a movie that like if kids watched it today they would care about.
They're gonna know what the hell's going on.
They're just like, this is a movie that could only exist when it came out and it was made, and
all these games are old.
Hilarious
Dad.
To watch. I loved it, but I'm like, It is. It's not a movie that's going to be revisited anytime soon.
Badly reviewed when it came out too. I was too young to even know. I just like movies.
Yeah, it's structured very strangely. Like I said, we don't care about either of the B plots happening. And yeah. But you know, it's a very unique film.
It's a kid trying to play video games,
and that's what I think that's my point. I was like, you know, for the road trip pieces, you know, we've watched a lot of road trip movies on this show. I mean, I was trying to think too of if there was any that started the road trip piece faster. And I was like, the only one is maybe Land Before Time, if you count that, and that movie is only 60 minutes.
Dude, so Where's My Car? Maybe, but
like Homeward Bound or like Finding Nemo. Even we just said like none of they all have such a build up to the actual trip part.
We're tripping.
They get right into it and they go, and I was like, as a kid, this movie knows exactly what kids care about when they're gonna watch a movie, and I think they nail those bits. Like they're like, kids don't care, move to the next thing, doesn't matter.
I also gotta say, like, they never actually play like a Nintendo ever.
Yeah,
it's always just like an arcade version
cabinet.
Of a game.
Yep, you're right.
And I was kind of hoping, like, that's gotta be awkward to play with. I don't know if you ever tried to play like a Nintendo game with like an arcade stick.
Yeah, the full cabinet style.
But you don't. You can only go left, right, up, and down. These diagonals are doing nothing for you.
That's true. You don't have like a D-pad. You have like a joystick usually with those and the buttons.
And Jimmy's just training the whole time. I kind of wanted him to get like a regular controller at the end and not know how to use it or something.
That would have been fun. Yeah. He kind of has to like figure out how it is. Then he locks it in. And he kind of has like that come from behind where he like at the last second he manages to do something in Mario that like gets him a ton of points. Like they're freaking out. I feel like, I don't know.
Something to do with the block building, too, could have been brought in somehow.
And then, you're right. The weird ending is just that everyone's happy. Everyone's happy.
Yeah, everyone gets what they want.
And again, as a kid's film, I think that nails
even
what kids
Putnam
want to see.
Even Putnam is like cheering Jimmy on to win.
Everyone just wants to be happy at the end of the movie for the kids, and that's the ending they give you. But it's very strange watching it now where you're like, these families have serious dysfunctional problems
they need to fix
things,
and video games aren't going to be the answer.
And like, they're like, oh, Jimmy managed to get over his deal where he left the lunchbox full of photos and drawings or whatever dino stop, which you'd called him part one.
Mm-hmm. That's one step
But I'm
away.
Like, that is, there is way more that needs to happen for these families. This is not, like, there's a lot more that is going to have to happen.
Yeah.
But interesting movie. I'm really excited that we got back to this one.
Yeah, I wonder what Jimmy's doing now. If he's playing like League of Legends or like the
right, he's winning that $1 million because that's the world's.
He's the boss of like an esports team.
Yeah,
who's, like,
there
you go. Evil villains.
Ooh, yeah, they're doing Mighty Ducks style where like he's the evil guy now, the evil coach that the new underdog has to beat.
Mm-hmm. Lucas is cleaning his car like Biff from Back to the Future. Like that. Yes. Cleaning his power glove.
Yeah. He's the coolest kid in Santa Fe, wherever they are.
Thank you for joining us on that episode and every episode that you do. The next movie we're doing has the tagline, "Everyone's talking about Mary." We remember... There's something about Mary.
No animals or humans were harmed during the following preview. Not even the fake ones. Honest.
Are you going to the prom?
I think proms are...
Because I thought maybe
dumb.
We could go together.
Oh, you're going to go with like a bunch of people? Or you want like a designated driver?
No. I mean, you and me, we could go together.
Why do birds... suddenly appear.
When I was 16 years old, I fell in love.
Oh, no, I wasn't.
Ah!
Oh, we got a bleeder!
Yes. Are you okay, Ted?
It was definitely love.
I'm Mary again.
I mean, crushes don't last for 13 years, right?
He couldn't help it.
Hi, it's Ted.
I haven't seen you since
senior prom.
How's everything?
Oh, that's fine.
Strong night bull.
And he couldn't explain it.
You asked me to follow around your girl, and I did. And then the truth is, I started to like her.
because there's something about Mary.
She's still a fox.
Mary's a fox. She's a fox.
When a guy who can play 36 holes and still have enough energy to take me and my brother to a ball game.
Just a little bit of history repeating.
Too bad you don't live here, Ted.
20th Century Fox presents...
How many is this? Four. Four. Seems like an awful lot to give one little pooch.
He doesn't like anybody. He never usually likes guys.
A new comedy.
Come on, boy.
From the Farley Brothers, directors of Dumb and Dumber and Kingpin.
Would you like a little clam dip, Dom?
Whatever.
Cameron Diaz, Matt Dillon, Ben Stiller. There's something about Mary.
Are you the little guy making all that big noise, huh?